Good afternoon, Wisconsin. It's time for WFHR's Playmakers. Oh, I'm loving this new intro music. This is great. I got to thank the producer.
Yeah.
I have your host, James, here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You hear that voice over there. Our greatest pitch hitter we have, our main utility guy, Seth Habagger, with us.
Hey, everyone.
He also does production.
Seth is That's the other job I do, yeah.
We appreciate you being here, Seth. Mm-hmm. We want to send a shout-out to all of our listeners out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. Join us on the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you, your sports thoughts and feelings. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines getting the game, much like our friends at Quality Plus Printing do.
That's right.
They're in the game.
They are
in the action. Go ahead and head on over there. Give them some work. Give them some fun.
Something to do.
Say hi to Phil in the game.
Phil's done with the show. He needs something to do.
Yes, yeah. Get on over there and let them know. Be sure to remember that not only does Quality Plus Printing sponsor this hour, they join us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday around 8:45-ish on Wednesday mornings on our morning show. I'm looking forward to hearing whatever word Phil's got for this week. Maybe it's exhaustion. Maybe it's just getting done with the run of the show.
Tiredness.
Seth, we have to keep talking because I had a meeting this morning that involved very exciting news about Playmakers, and I can't share that news
Not yet. Quite yet.
But boy, we got some exciting news going on with our show, everybody. We got some cool stuff. We want to talk a little baseball today. We're going to be joined by our Rafters, and we'll talk a little Rafters news. I was talking with Tyler over the weekend, back and forth, and we thought it'd be kind of cool to talking about these last days leading up to opening day.
Oh, yeah.
And what's going on at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I actually drove past there the other day and saw Tyler just by coincidence, and they were setting up some tarps and practicing with that. I thought it was kind of cool that they practiced those things. It makes sense, but there's a lot of that little stuff that we never really get to cover that we're going to be able to. Looking forward to that.
That's cool.
We've got some other news to get to. The NFL and the Green Bay Packers are up to something kind of fun with the NFL draft. I can't wait to talk about that.
Ooh, okay.
Got our day in baseball history I want to get into.
Oh, okay.
Got some interesting notes there. All of that going on. Did you have anything on mind? Anything in mind off the top of your head that you wanted to get to for sure?
No, not really.
All right,
you know, we've covered the injuries and see the Otani thing is, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, I think we've covered all of sports.
Well, you know, the first month and a half of baseball is done now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're well into the season. And this is, to me, this is the greatest thing about baseball that's on every day. It's always there in the summertime. You always know, you know, always check out, hey, what's the score? You know, something like that.
Yes.
Some of my favorite things about baseball is that it's a daily show.
I love that it's never a rerun. You've got
always new. Yeah,
you've got constant action and entertainment there,
right.
While also not knowing anything about as far as like who's the, like the leader in the club, who's the team to beat, or something like that.
Right.
Like I know we could easily say the Dodgers, but I will point to their starting pitching.
Right.
To say that I don't know if it's them.
I mean, just look at the White Sox. You know, they've started to play better the last week or so. I mean, in baseball, you're never completely – there's never like a – you're never going to go 0 for whatever.
And
you're going to get into straight stretches where you win.
There is always the excitement of the Oakland, Las Vegas, Sacramento, Anaheim.
Back to Oakland.
Yes, back to Oakland.
Wherever they end up, right.
Let's get to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I wish I could be sitting at the ballpark right now with a nice cold glass of – cold beverage,
yes.
Hot dog, nachos, maybe a cheesy pretzel. I don't know. I
mean, yes. I've been soft pretzel. Yeah,
Do you ever notice after you mentioned being at the game, food is the next thing you always mention.
Always,
what you're going to eat when you're there.
Thinking about it right now.
Yep.
Thinking about it, especially over at Milwaukee. They're dogs over there. That sauce.
Good stuff.
As far as the season goes, when we're talking baseball, we are in the quarter of the season here, something like that. I joke that we don't know who's good and who's not, but it is one of the fun, but also kind of really like interesting things about baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's so long this season. When I say a quarter in, it is really kind of broken down like that.
Yep.
The first couple weeks of the season looked like Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, some of those teams were really going to be a trouble in the division. I still wouldn't turn my back on them, but if you're the Brewers, if you're the Cubs, you're not feeling as bad. And I cannot get enough of looking at St. Louis's win-loss record. I I don't know about anybody else, but I can't get it.
Around here, I think that's pretty common, yeah.
Kev, what is your thoughts early on in the season, other than wanting to be at the ballpark?
Not only be at the ballpark, but you kind of hit it on the head because we're quarter of the way through the season. But the one thing that's just, I have got a couple of things, and I don't know how much time we have. I wish we had a 2-hour show or a 3-hour show to be able to talk about it. But, for one thing, it's the injuries.
Mm.
It is pretty much showing, back in the day, I would say probably 10 years ago. You probably could take it back 10 years, if not a little further. You've never seen these many injuries to any of these ballplayers. It has to be seen the amount of baseball that's being played by these kids. This weekend, with my girlfriend's family. We stayed in a hotel over in Plover. They had a 12U baseball tournament already in Plover.
Mm.
This is in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These kids are playing way too much baseball. They're concentrating on way too much on one sport, and they're getting hurt. It's just these injuries piling up so bad in Major League Baseball that I just think the body's breaking down on some of these kids because the amount of baseball that they play when they're younger.
I have a good friend of mine, Marissa. She went to school for this sports, and she worked in Alabama for a long time doing a lot of this stuff, working with kids, a lot of athletes, and as an athletic trainer. And one of the things that I think has stood out to me about this is the science, we're still catching up some things, and the human body has never been this big, this fast, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We've never seen athletes like this in our lives.
Right.
And they're only getting bigger, stronger, faster, all that. I think the biggest thing that we have to do is understand that we don't know everything. That everything's got to be on the table as far as fixing this. And I think a lot of this is going to come down to the same answer we had in the beginning. It's going to come down to the parents. The parents are going to have to say, kids, whether you want this or not, mm-hmm. or I want this or not, and I'm not going to live vicariously through you, mm-hmm. you're going to be a 12-year-old. You're going to be 12. You're going to be 13. You're going to be a kid. You're going to go out there, play video games, and do other things with your hands and arms than just playing baseball. And because I don't expect any of these camps that are going around and picking these kids up or the league like you talked about there or anything. None of them are going to say no to this. None of them are going to, for the betterment of the game, we're going to say no to money. They're never going to do that. I'm not expecting them to.
No.
I don't expect businesses to have moral compasses. I expect parents to.
Right.
And parents to be parents. And for one, not try to live vicariously through their kids. And two, be like, no, you're going to be 12. I know you can throw 99. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And I would love to see you starting for the Brewers right now. But I'm going to be a parent. I'm going to it's not about me. I'm going to make actually, think about my kid and let my kid be a kid.
Well, look at all the people that have picked up baseball later on in their teens and have made it to the major leagues. One of my favorites is Max Kepler. Mm. Max Kepler was a tennis guy.
Huh.
He grew up his parents. He grew up in Germany because his parents were dancers, actually, and that's where they were. They were Americans, but they lived in Germany. He played tennis until he was 16 years old, and then he picked up a baseball bat, and now he's a major. He's been a major leaguer now for 6-7 years. I mean, and it's one of those things. I don't think it's got to be something about the reward structure, because the rewards can be so tempting, can be so high that the kids get pushed into this where it's but if you were just a little bit better, maybe you get that higher draft spot or something like that. But
a little bit of training.
I don't even know if the kids that are doing all this travel stuff are the ones that are going to make it.
And you got to think that leagues are also going to pick up on this, too. They're mm-hmm. seeing the same things we are. They got a lot of money invested in this stuff.
They do.
There's going to have to be a change. Yeah. It's just interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they go in.
Mm-hmm.
Kev, we could go ahead. Go ahead.
What you said, you sit there and think, oh, yeah, the Raptors are coming. They're going to get more baseball. These guys are playing all summer long. But at least on the pitching end of it, they're actually putting pitch counts on these kids in the summertime.
Yeah.
You only can pitch, if you overpitch, 30 pitches in an inning, you're not coming out for the next inning, or if you get to a certain point, you can't come out. I mean, that's on that end of it's good. And But I just, you know, it's just to the point, I think, especially at the younger ages, to be gone every weekend. I mean, for one thing, for the parents, it can't be cheap. You know, you got to sit at a hotel,
right?
Pay 60, 70 bucks, you mm-hmm. know, to sit at a hotel,
yeah.
At, you know, and at the field. But, man, it's just seeing these major leaguers compared to back, you know, back, like I said, 10, 15 years ago, you've never seen as many stars get injured, you know, have back issues, have shoulder issues, have mm-hmm. knee issues. Yeah. You just never see it anymore. You know, you just never saw it back then, you know, and then you get Cal Ripken Jr., you know, he had that, you know, record-breaking, played every game, you know. And
oh, he was a freak. Just,
most unbreakable record in sports. I believe somebody right. would beat. I actually believe, and I don't think either one of these are going to be broken in our lifetimes, but I actually believe somebody will beat Brett Favre's record of consecutive games started at quarterback than somebody will beat Cal Ripken's record.
I agree.
But I wouldn't be shocked to be wrong about that either, because football is violent.
Yes, that's right.
You know, Kevin, we love talking to you, man. We could talk to you all day. I hate to do this, but I got to go to the bullpen. I got to call Tyler in.
He's actually calling Tyler in right now.
Calling him in.
Yep.
I really didn't want to do this, man, but 5-6 innings in, you pitched a great game. You really, really stellar game, and I appreciate the effort. I know you could probably go 7, but I'm going to go. I just want to make sure we get this W, okay?
Okay, Craig.
Nice. Always good talking to you, brother. Have a good one.
You guys have a great day. Enjoy the week.
You too. We are being joined right now by assistant GM of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Tyler Miller. With us. Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I heard some positive White Sox talk on the way in, I think, for the first time since like 2020. I'll take it.
Early 2020, yeah. I think that's what I think it's about.
That playoff series, I think, is the last time I like had some confidence in the White Sox roster. So I was like, wait, I had to stay in the car for 2 more seconds to listen to what you guys were going to positive talk about the White Sox.
Those glorious 2020 days.
Take what you can get, man.
We do have some positive news to talk about because we are so close to Rafters baseball. It is an exciting time. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about these last days before opening day and what that's like for you, the team. What's going on at the ballpark? What is the vibe like?
What isn't going on? Yeah. Some real exciting news. Again, today, just a little more excited. We had, I welcomed 6 interns this morning at 9 a.m. They reported to our office. And I'll never forget my first day, like as an mm-hmm. intern when I got here and had that talk with the GM and got the orientation and everything. We have 4 of them from out of the state. So we've got 4 coming in from outside of the state, 1 local one that from Rapids, which is always cool to kind of see
Nice.
And then the other one that reported this morning is from Appleton, and goes to UWSP. So, again, it's always cool to kind of see the bonds that happen. It's 6 kids that don't know each other. I have 4 more reporting next Monday. They're finishing up finals and everything. So it's just really cool to kind of see things start to come together. I'm the one that hired all these interns. I interviewed them. I know what they're bringing to the table. And so now they're here. Now we're going to be able to sit down with them and execute it all, which is really exciting.
One of the coolest things with the Northwoods League is the construction of it and the way that it works for players, which we all kind of understand. But it's not just players. It's people like you, Andy Francis, mm-hmm. you know, people like that we've met and we've gotten to know over the years through the Rafters to work their ways up from being interns. The idea of being a kid and one of your first, if not your first baseball game, is a Rafter game, and one day interning for the Rafters. That's such a cool thing to me, and it happens in not every town can offer that.
No, totally, and again, that's what I take the pride in that. Like, it's like if I see locals, we have this year, I have what I consider like a game day intern. She's a senior over at Lincoln, and she's going to school for video production, and she's going to actually be our broadcast director, and so she's not necessarily even stepped foot on a college campus yet, but Lincoln has such a good webcast, or, you know, live stream team, that she was like, hey, I want to go into sports, I want to do that, like, and I'm like, yes, you know, I'll take you. So it's just a yes. No, I love bringing in people from across the country, because I think it's really unique to give them that Central Wisconsin lifestyle. But it is also so cool to see kids who I've talked to when I interview them, and they're like, oh yeah, we've gone to Rafters games since I was a kid, and here we are, I'm a junior senior in college and need this internship credit, and I'll intern with you guys. So no, very, very cool from one extreme to the other as well.
It was fun getting some of the players in town. Got some BP in, I hear.
So players will be arriving this weekend and start there. Weekend. So I heard you talk. You saw us putting up the tent, which is the
tent.
Which is the most. Which is again, I told the interns this morning. I was like, I saved you hating me by putting that up this weekend. So we were there Saturday and Sunday getting that put up. So the players will slowly start to arrive. Field manager comes in this week, or late this week, early next week, and so things really start to click. So you know, it's we go from 3 people in the ballpark to now there's going to be at least 20 people in the ballpark at all times, which is always cool.
I've heard throughout the last couple of, I'd say the last month or so, I've heard a little bit of the announcing going on and some practicing there going on and some of the other stuff, and it got me really thinking about those, you know, the when there's the first rain delay and we see a tarp come out or something like, it's not the first time that you guys are doing this stuff, that all the rehearsal and the practice time, it isn't just the players that are constantly practicing.
It is. It's so funny. Again, we have I love using Assumption as practice because again the Assumption High School plays at our field, and so we're able to use that sometimes. So their last home game is next Monday, and that is going to be a full-on run through for us. I mean, like, we're gonna have our on-field MC do some mock stuff introductions, we're gonna have our field and turf guy go out there and get everything ready, we're gonna have everybody, like our broadcast, we're gonna fake stream it. So it is, it's yes, it's all about the practice. It's I we can't really paint the picture of having 1,000 fans in the stadium or, you know, mock that. Like, the most we can do is have you guys come and get some burgers and brat, we can do, but...
Seth is great at throwing his voice. He's really good at it.
So, no, but it is. It's just so cool to kind of see everything put together. No, it is not. We will be doing tarp poles beforehand. Again, I thank the players that they know what they're doing because they have to do it at their school too, but no, we do some practice runs because, yeah, you can't really mimic what's going to happen on that rain delay when it just comes out of nowhere, as we know how it comes around here. So you never know what you're going to get, so we have to be ready for all things, all weather.
Yeah. You were talking about this weekend and the players coming into town, and the idea of you get here and 2 days later you're playing baseball. You know, baseball that matters. It's a crazy life.
It's crazy life.
Exciting, but a crazy life.
It still shocks me that the shortstop that's thrown over to first doesn't even probably know the first baseman's name during the first game. Right. Here you go, buddy. Whipping it over to first. So it is.
Tony!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As he's throwing it over. Yeah, so yeah. It's just such a unique dynamic. I mean, same things for the interns. I mean, we have interns. We have a couple host families who take more than one intern. I mean, myself, when I was an intern, I had a roommate from a kid that lived in New York City that went to Indiana University, and I didn't know him before I showed up at my host family's house, and he was like, "Hey, I'm living with you this summer too," you know. And so it's always cool seeing everybody's kind of reaction to, yeah, it's like, this is the first time we're all seeing each other. I didn't even, don't even know your name yet, but we're putting up this sign together. And so it's always a unique, those first couple weeks before everybody kind of knows each other and knows where things are and how the process goes over at Winterfield.
Again, we're speaking with Assistant General Manager for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Tyler Miller. And Tyler, just between the three of us, all right, what is the feeling, the vibe with the team, the organization right now about the what we're putting out in the diamond?
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I think it's really high. There's a couple of things that I can't say on air right now that are not cleared yet. So I'm waiting. Yeah. I heard that. Off air. Hold on. It's shaping up. We've got some players. We've got some really good players coming. I had a 5.5-hour call on Saturday with our field manager, and that's strictly what we were kind of doing, was going over some of these guys, where they're at right now. Are they made in the conference tournament? Are they waiting for regional placements? I'm telling you, that's the biggest puzzle right now. The school that's on the edge of maybe getting a regional, well, that determines whether the guy's coming on time or 3 weeks late because of the way the regionals play out. So, again, a team that could make a run in the conference tournament and qualify, like, it is the biggest puzzle to piece together, is when are these guys coming? Yeah. And we truly don't know until they have their exit interview and they're like, I'm on a plane tomorrow. Yeah. So it's crazy to think about and have to just deal with as a whole, of trying to get everybody here and trying to field the team for opening day.
It really gives an appreciation for these players and that what they do with their lives, these host families taking people in, the way the organization just adapts to all of this. It's one thing for us as fans, hey, Raptor season's up, let's go. 27th, we're there. But for everything, all these moving pieces to get into place to where we show up, and if you don't know any of these things that we're talking about, you're going to enjoy the game, mm-hmm. let alone if you know all this stuff that just gives added context to it, I think.
No, it does. And that's why I like, again, that's why I enjoy this opportunity to come on and really do, like, again, there's so many people that I love just chatting with about what we do during the offseason and different things that happen. And again, this 2 weeks madness of going from three people in the front office to having 35 guys here on the team and 10 interns, and I just hired 79 part-time staff. And wow. So it's just everything coming together from three people to over 100 people, kind of, again, putting on for the fans, which is what it's for.
Yep.
Next time we have this Raptors minute, Raptors moment, I should say. It's always never going to be a minute. That would never be enough time.
That wouldn't work.
It would never work. We'd go way over time. We're going to have some of the radio broadcasters joining us.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. Andy is very pumped. We actually did a little podcast interview with him the other day, with him and the TV broadcaster. I did a little thing, so feel free to check that out on our YouTube channel. But again, he's super excited. He's ready to call these games. He's got the voice. He's a former, he played baseball in college until sophomore year, and then kind of realized he wants to broadcast, and so you have to decide whether you want to play. You can't do both. He recognized that, and he kind of shifted his things to the broadcasting side. But again, I'm really excited about the knowledge of the baseball side that he's going to bring, because I know people around here are just crazy baseball fans. I know we'll appreciate that. So really looking forward to his calls here.
Look forward to talking with him as well.
Yeah.
As much as I love sports and I like players and all that, I am a sneaky announcer. Like junkie. I have a higher bar for announcers than I do the White Sox.
That's a crazy thing. Was losing Jason, it was like, oh, there's our number one pick that we just lost, and then bringing this guy, I mean, he's just as good.
Works out. The Raptors kick off the season Monday, May 27th against the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders. They'll be at Hare Baker Field for that. Our first home game the very next day, that Tuesday, we'll take on the Dock Spiders right here in Rapids at Witter Field. You can catch the game at Witter Field. Get your tickets. Show up to the ballpark. If you cannot make it to the ballpark, keep in mind every hit, every pitch, every win of Raptor baseball right here at WFHR. And speaking of the studios here, come on down, pick up a schedule. All you got to do, say hi to Pam. That's it. Just say hi to Pam. You get a free Raptor schedule. It's a pretty good deal. Tyler, thank you so much, not only for joining us today, but the last couple of weeks. It's been a lot of fun building up to this season. We've been able to give the audience just some excitement and get that energy going and everything. It's a lot of fun.
No, that's what we're trying to do. Again, we're really trying to bring the energy in 24. Got some really cool things planned, which we've already talked about a lot all this offseason. So I'm excited to see everyone out at Witter Field. Again, that moment opening the gates for the first time on opening day, there's just nothing like it. And look forward to 36 of those at Witter Field and a couple more because of the playoffs and World Series that we get to this year.
Darn right. Write it down. I cannot wait. We'll meet you at the ballpark. We'll meet you at Witter Field. Thanks again, Tyler.
Thanks so much, guys.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll have some more Playmakers. We'll take some of your calls here at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James behind the microphones. Thanks so much for joining us today. A big thank you to Tyler Miller for joining us. Always fun to talk Raptor baseball and get some insight at the ballpark and what's going on over there that only you can get here. You can only get it.
You're only getting it here, man.
That's pretty cool. Very exciting. Find out more at northwoodsleague.com. Get your Raptor tickets and find out about all the fun things going on at the ballpark this year. Northwoodsleague.com. Looking forward to that. Let's keep the baseball talk going, Seth.
I can never get tired of that, I'll tell you.
I didn't think you'd have a problem with that. As I was thinking, I'm like, I think you'll be all right with that. I have a little bit of, if you heard us last week, one of the things that I thought would be fun throughout the baseball season on Playmakers is doing a stat of the show kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And going back in baseball history and just grabbing some random stat or some fun thing that happened in baseball. As you all know, baseball's been around for 1,000 years.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting.
You know, I have to say, the really interesting thing about baseball, because its history is so rich, and you know, all the sports have been around for, you know, maybe not as long, but they've been back since the teens and 20s and stuff like that. We know in basketball, but the organization of baseball has been so much more for longer. there weren't like the World Hockey League or like the ABA or something like that, and then they merged, or the AFL and the NFL kind of thing, and that kind of thing. They've had a much more jagged history. Baseball has been basically the same since 1901.
Yeah.
The American and the National League. It's been that way. Now there's been upstart leagues that have tried to make it. They haven't, of course. But I think that's one of the things that gives it such great continuity, is because of that stability from 1901 to now. So
I think that's a fascinating point.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our pregame, what we were talking about, how sports have changed to go towards the media that they're
right.
on. Radio, of course, was the big one, and baseball is so perfectly designed for baseball.
It is.
You know, radio,
for
we
radio,
all kind
yep.
of talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of what football has done, where football, it gets its start before TV, really.
Of course, yeah.
But as TV grows and becomes in every household, football changes a bit of its rules. And I shouldn't say just its rule. It even before the rules, actually, you know, they self-govern this. It was kind of done more of an evolution of the game, and hey, this is more fun to watch, whether you're in the stands or you're actually watching it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules kind of followed the league
yep.
in that regard, and in those things. Football's interesting in that way. Not every sport is like that. Some sports come up with a rule because, hey, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Football seems to adapt to where the league is going, where the rule changes are, and mm-hmm. all of that.
Or just the way the game is played.
Yeah.
You think of the evolution of the forward pass.
Mm.
Since when it started to where it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, yikes.
So let's look at our stat of the show. I couldn't pick one, everybody. So we're going to have
multiple stats. Okay.
We go to 1880.
Love it. Early baseball. I love it.
The Albany Riverside Park lip pike hits a ball over the wall into the river over right fielder Lon Knight. Lon Knight begins to go after the ball in a boat, but he gives up. Now, he can do this because few parks have ground rules giving the batter an automatic home run on a ball hit over the fence.
That is correct.
So this is the beginning of what a home run is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kept rolling. Exactly. If the ball kept, you could keep running until the ball was thrown in. So you're right. There wasn't like a hard and fast rule about what a home run was.
Well, all these people that are crying and moaning about baseball batters and they're showing off and everything, like flipping the bat and all this. I know. I don't know. I
the
no
showmanship
problem.
Has been always been there.
But if you're in that camp, you should want this back.
Yeah. Because they'd be running out of the box like crazy.
As I'm rounding the bases and moonwalking and waving. Even to my mom and dad and signing autographs. Seth's going to get in the ball and gets me out at second.
Yeah.
It'd make it interesting.
That makes that a little bit more excitement maybe on the bases then. Yeah.
In 1896, Cy Young gets Cleveland's eighth consecutive win with a 4-1 decision over Boston. The streak has helped these Spiders to solidify their hold in first place. Louisville gets a rare victory in that regard as well. Let's see here.
Louisville. Oh, wow.
There was another one I wanted to get here.
You can tell why Louisville didn't make it into the big leagues. They kind of petered out there.
Yeah, yeah. But they do got a nice Hall of Fame, from what I hear.
And they've got the whole bat thing, you know,
yeah,
the whole Louisville slugger thing, yeah.
In May 13th, on this day in 1929, at Cleveland's League Park, the first game in Major League history in which players from both teams wear numbers on the back of their jerseys.
Aha!
Today is the day that started.
Today is the day, and I know why. That first started, I know why the Yankees first started doing it, or how they started doing it. They just your number in the batting order.
Oh yeah,
that's right. How Babe Ruth ended up with a number 3, and Lou Gehrig ended up with a number 4 because that's where they were in the batting order.
How amazing is that? May 13th, 1947, a barrage of racial slurs is directed at Jackie Robinson by the Cincinnati fans at Crosley Field. Brooklyn shortstop Pee Wee Reese, a Southerner from Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
puts his arm around his teammate's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cooler moments in baseball.
That was the famous sportscaster Red Barber. He was also from the South, and if you see him later in his life, he would always credit Jackie Robinson with completely changing the way he thought about race.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jackie who did that to him. He said before that either he hadn't thought about it or he had the same prejudices that a lot of his Southern people had.
Yeah.
And because of Jackie, that all changed, which is truly remarkable.
It's certainly noteworthy what he did for baseball in mm-hmm. that, but it's life changing, groundbreaking mm-hmm. what he did for society.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
100%, man.
On this day in 1958, Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cardinals collects his 3,000th hit.
Stan the man.
That's pretty cool. Let's see. On this day in 1958, Willie Mays, Giants set a record with 50 total bases in a 16-9 rout of the Dodgers.
50 total bases?
That's insane.
Oh, my gosh. How many home runs did they hit? Oh, my goodness.
When we complain about some of the modern sports and some of the things that are going on nowadays, it's kind of funny when you look back and you see some of these stats. And I got one for you, brother. On this day in 1989, Kirby Puckett ties a major league record by collecting 4 doubles in a game.
Yes. One of his records.
Mm-hmm.
One of his. I think he didn't have a lot of records, but nah.
If there is, when it comes to underestimated things of athletes in sports, Kirby Puckett, it takes the crown at so many of these things. If you look at Kirby, just his baseball card, or just him standing out in center field, you're like, why is that guy out there in center field?
He's 5'8". First base. Yep. 5'8" and built like a fire plug. But man, could he jump.
The hops.
You should have seen, the highlight reel of him stealing home runs at the Metrodome. I'm telling you, man, it's a joy to watch. It's absolutely a joy to watch.
As somebody that just, I could sit there and watch fielding all day mm-hmm. in baseball. I really could. I like a home run. One of my favorite things in sports is a stolen base, let alone somebody stealing home. That may be my favorite thing in sports.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you get a good fielder. This is why I love Mookie Betts so much. Yeah, he's exciting on the base pads, and it's really mm-hmm. cool that he can do that. When is the last time you saw a guy that was a utility player that was that good? Like, they could not, I mean, was a Hall of Famer before he even got to the Dodgers, let alone at right field. I'm not saying he was a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I should say as a fielder, he was a Hall of Famer.
Right. Definitely a Gold Glover.
Yeah.
He wore 1 Gold Gloves in right field.
Yeah. I think he's worked his way up to Hall of Fame status completely. But the fact that the multiple position thing, and that he chooses to do this, he's reached out. Usually it's, hey, we got too many shortstops. Can you play third?
Mm-hmm.
Mookie's like, hey, what do you need? I got some catcher gear in my locker if you need me. I love it.
Because it's Mookie, maybe we've downplayed it. The idea of an outfielder taking shortstop, going to shortstop, which is the hardest position to play. Now, catcher is the most work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You do the most as a catcher. I'm not downgrading that. But the hardest position to play is shortstop in baseball.
Yeah.
And you go from, you talk to most outfielders, okay? They're afraid to go across the infield during batting practice because the ball gets there too fast. There's a reason they're playing in the outfield. They don't like the ball being up there that fast. For him to say he wants to do that, I mean, it just boggles my mind, especially in this day and age, man. It's crazy.
I did have one more that I wanted to touch on real quick.
All right.
We go to 1901, where Giants fractious owner Andrew Friedman accuses umpire Billy Nash of incompetence and bars him from the polo grounds. The Pirates' Charles Zimmer and the Giants' John Warner are forced to officiate. Christy Mathewson wins his 7th straight game, 2-1, but his scoreless streak stops at 39 innings. 39 innings scoreless streak.
Can you imagine if that happened today?
I love that idea.
Oh, you're going to have to officiate. Sorry. We're not going to let this umpire in.
What is it? Angel? What is his name?
Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez. I love the idea of like 30 or 20 of the major league ballparks. Like, no, we're banning you.
We're finally done with you, Angel. Sorry.
What does Manfred do with that? Like, what do you do to fight that? I own the stadium, all right? It's my decision.
Right, right.
He's banned. I'm not letting. I think that's actually pretty darn funny, and I would love to see it. There's a great game going on tonight for your Brewers, everybody. The Brewers are going to be taking on the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates 18-23 on the season, been hit by some injuries and just some slow play by the pitching staff, honestly. 24-16 for your Brewers. Colin Ray going on the on the mound with a 3-0 record, 3.29 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch Keller, he'll be facing up against. Keller has had a decent season.
He started a little rocky, but recently he just threw a complete game. One of the big rarities in baseball. He just threw a complete game. Of course, the Pirates also have just called up Paul Skeens, who pitched pretty good on Saturday. It wasn't bad. Struck out 7 guys. And, man, I forget his name. Jacobs? Or the other rookie they got. Man, he has been something else.
The Pirates.
Wow.
The Pirates have been one of those franchises, and they're not the only one, that have been really smart about, hey, we're not going to get the big name free agent. We've got to strike gold. We've got to get a McCutcheon. We've got to get something like that going. And a shout out to Andrew McCutcheon going back to Pittsburgh and everything. That's been really cool to see. Yeah. It's so cool to see franchises like this do this. I wouldn't say I'm a Pirates fan ever or anything like that, but I have a little bit of a love for them because of my Clemente and being a smaller market team and all that, I kind of root for. So I think it's kind of cool. None of that matters today, though, because they're playing the Brewers, and that's all that matters. And the Brewers are looking to keep winning here. They're looking to keep doing what they've been doing this season.
You know, talking about the Brewers, so like we stated at the beginning of the show, we're the quarterway through the season. They're still in first place.
Yeah.
So they're showing something here. I'm still surprised, to be honest with you. Their pitching has been good. Their offense has been good, which has been something of a surprise considering the last couple of seasons. But they're just playing well as a unit. They're playing good baseball. And that's kind of what, because there's no one really standing out right now. They don't have one guy that's carrying them or anything. It's just team effort. And I'm thinking, man, that can take you a long ways. Especially if you're heading into playoffs, which I know are a long, long way off, but still.
We welcome the Playmakers, everybody. If you're just joining us, Seth and James here. We're talking with you. Call up. Join the conversation, 715-424-2600. I still want to get to this thing that the Green Bay Packers are doing, getting ready for the NFL draft before we wrap up today. It's pretty cool. But I got to get into a discussion. I actually got into with a couple listeners, students, even talk with Laura a little bit about this, our newest staff member here at WFHR. The coaching carousel that goes on in sports, and more specifically in basketball, and the idea of, you know, kind of what happens every season. It'll happen next year. It'll happen the year after that until something gives, I guess, until a new Phil Jackson, Pat Riley type steps up. And all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, we can't keep doing the same old thing. Last year around this time, there was a lot of debate about whether Mike Budenholzer should be the Milwaukee Bucks coach. Won a championship, had the locker room's ear by all accounts. Nobody disliked him by all accounts, all of that. And I think that anybody who, while this wasn't shared with us at the time, I think anybody watching him could see there was something missing for him. We would later find out that he had a tragic family incident, and that was whether it was distracting him from the game or not, certainly was playing on his heart.
Right.
And that's understandable. Yeah. Then he loses his job. Now, when this happens, and I'm not talking about Wisconsin broadcasters or people. I'm talking about the national media.
Right.
Well, this had to happen. They needed a new voice. They needed a new change. You know, Coach Bud and everything. He did a good job, but it's time to move on and bring in another name and all these things and et cetera, et cetera. And pretty much everybody consensusly, as far as the Mouse Network and Fox and all that, Mike Budenholzer's not a great coach. And he ran out his course and everything. And then flash forward to now, where you open up and you look at, well, who's the top coaching candidates out there? Who should these teams be looking for? And who's at the top of the list? But Coach Bud. And Coach Bud is, well, he's an innovator. And he's so good with offenses. Well, I mean, he does have a championship to his name. And this is not about Mike Budenholzer. This is
not really
him as an example. I'm very happy for him. He's an Arizona native. For those that have not heard, Mike Budenholzer has been hired on a 5-year deal to coach the Phoenix Suns. Great fit.
5-year deal.
Great fit for him. Wow. Stability, because no matter what happens, that 5-year contract is guaranteed.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's not a player.
Yeah.
and good for him. Good for his family. That's really cool. I hope it works out. They got a lot of work to do with that roster. They've got three great stars that would have been great like 5 years
ago. They're
really
old.
Yeah. And then you got Devin Booker, who's an up-and-coming star. He is a star. He is one of the faces of the league. So you got stuff to work with, but it ain't going to be a cakewalk. It'll be interesting. But they just keep recycling these players, or these coaches, and they're never willing to take chances. And if they do, that same organization that takes that chance, they'll never take another one. They like, oh, well, we can't take any more chances. So they just keep using the same coaches left and right. Doc Rivers, by the time he's as a human being, I don't mind Doc Rivers. I have no problem with him. But the amount of opportunities that man has gotten
has been given. Yeah.
It's insane. But they just keep doing it. And it's so ridiculous. Yeah. And we as fans are just supposed to kind of like keep eating this garbage over and over and not calling them out on it.
The Bucs season should be kind of a warning sign.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is exactly what the Bucs did. They hired a new coach. He'd never coached before. By the way, Bucs had a winning record, pretty good record. When they fired him to hire Doc Rivers, they have a losing record the rest of the season, and they lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is like, whoa, wait a minute here. This should make people stop and think for a second here. Really.
424-2600, 424-2600, if you can call up and tell us who the coach was in between Bud Budenholzer and Doc Rivers, because they had a guy and they fired him.
Yeah.
And they fired him mid-season, and I want to see if anybody can remember his name. I'm not going to give it to you.
I was going to say it, and I was like, no, but now if you're going to do this, I'll be quiet.
So. Yeah. I want to see if anybody can remember, because and this is, again, not about him as a person. Not about him. This is the job. This is the, you know, they get paid a lot of money to be able to, you know, handle these guys.
They just got cold feet, man.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. They got cold feet, and a big thing of this is they're worried about what their star player is going to say.
Yeah.
Wait, real quick. Mm-hmm. Star players, really good at playing basketball, not having a great track record as GMs.
No.
For hiring coaches and figuring out. They do not have a good track record with that.
I think you take just take a look at LeBron James's career. How many coaches he's had.
Yeah. And he's gotten rid of.
Yeah. GMs that have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. The way Damian Lillard was handling his career is the way I thought you should do it as a sports star. You know, I that's not my business. GM's going to handle that. I'm on the court. You want to talk to me about coach? You want to talk to me about last night's game? That's one thing. But as far as bringing in new players or any of this stuff, it ain't my bag. Mm-hmm. I'm focused on the game. Now you're so right. These players, I shouldn't say so many players. There are a number of players that think that they know everything or mm-hmm. that what they're saying, well, look, you do this, this, and this, and it works out. So here's especially something like LeBron. Well, look what happened in Miami. All right. There's a big difference of going to Miami and doing what you did and going anywhere else. And that big difference is Pat Riley. There's a gigantic difference when mm-hmm. it comes to going to just any franchise. There's a reason he's not in Cleveland. So I don't know what is going to make of this, what is going to happen with this or anything, but I do find it interesting, the coaching carousel that is really not – it's like a true carousel.
Yep.
The horses don't change. They just go around.
Yep.
But they don't change the horses.
They don't change. They go up, they go down.
Let's take a phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, James. I know I talked to you guys earlier, but this just came up on my phone, and I had to call in because it's going to kind of concern the Packers.
Yeah.
Breaking news out of Detroit. Jared Goff was the highest paid Lion in history with a 4-year deal at $212 million extension, includes $170 guaranteed.
I saw that. $170 guaranteed.
Woo. For Jared Goff?
The guy the Rams just gave up on and everybody figured was just a bust.
Wow.
I saw another stat. One of the things I was going to use for my stat of the day was how much money Kirk Cousins has made from football. It's a lot. It's insane.
Yeah.
It is insane. There should be a separate Hall of Fame for hustlers. just hustlers. Just guys that never didn't do jack with their career as far as winning playoff games or anything.
It's not great statistics, but, you know.
They were a free agent at the right time. Masters at it. If you're Detroit, I can see why you did this. It actually, when you do these kind of things, it usually frees up actually a little bit more salary cap room in the current, you know, salary mm-hmm. cap year. So I can see why doing it. And if I'm Detroit, I'm also doing it because of Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Some credit's got to be given to him.
Yeah.
I think what he has done with – now, he's done what he was supposed to do. I don't think they should necessarily give – it's weird to give credit for doing what you're supposed to do. But we've all seen the crying athlete. We've all seen mm-hmm. the guy who just gives up. We've all seen Jay Cutler or insert any other Bear quarterback almost. It's noteworthy what he's done. And what he's rejuvenating – not only rejuvenating his career, but giving Detroit hope. That's pretty cool. I don't know if it's worth 170 mil, but you know, more power to him. I ain't going to say no, Simon.
But the worst thing about it is that was the Jordan Love deal extension coming up here.
Uh-huh.
If Detroit gave them that money, what's going to happen. You know, where is it going to be? You know, I've heard the rumblings of $50 million a year, with possibly that 170, almost 200 guaranteed. So
I wasn't going to go this route, but you brought it up, and I was actually going to say it to Seth off air. But another reason why this is really good for Detroit is what it does to the Packers organization.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, how we have to lock this kid down? And if I'm Green Bay, I got to do this before Dak and Dallas do whatever deal they're going to do, because it's only going to go higher.
Make it go higher, yep.
And it's just going to keep going up. You got to get this done now. But this is again part of the reason why when they grab Jordan Love and they have Aaron Rodgers, the confusion. Yes, the kid is, because he got to play back and, you know, sit back and watch all of this, he's ready to go. And you get a season like you just got out of a kid who should be a rookie, basically. In NFL experience, he's a rookie, but he's out there playing like a pro at oftentimes.
Like a vet, yeah.
Playing well. That's great. That's really cool. Now what? Now that you got to pay him, now what? Because really, your Super Bowl window was last year. In some regards, it's not to say that Green Bay can't win and can't win a Super Bowl, but as far as this new business model that the NFL owners have, you that isn't going to work any more than it's going to work in Atlanta and what they're doing. It's a great thing on paper. It's a great thing if you're playing Madden football, but it doesn't work in real life. It may look. I'll ask you, Kevin. Green Bay wins a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. Seems pretty worth it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. They can do that, and I have to shut up, and everybody else does. But on right now, the way it looks, you sign him, you clog him up, and you clog up your salary cap with that contract, and the next couple of years, you're trying to figure out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. You're trying to figure out every year how to get under the salary cap with that balloon right there. And it needs to be said, too, and this is not a shot at Jordan Love at all. It's the way this works. We have no idea if he's worth it. We have no idea.
No.
He looks like it. He seems like it. I think 99% of us out there would sign him right now to that deal, whatever it might be. But he's no more guaranteed than any other kid in his position.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's dicey. This is a smart move on a lot of levels for Detroit.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I didn't really want to call in again to give other callers a chance, but I saw this come up. And
appreciate it.
I was like, oh, I got to let them know.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Nice reporting. Nice reporting. I appreciate you. You have a great day.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Yeah. It's going to be a little more interesting, too, with the NFL coming to Green Bay for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And Kev gave me a perfect segue into that story that I really wanted to get to. This is kind of cool, actually. I've always thought this was cool. And I'm not supposed to have things that I think are cool as a Bear fan for Green Bay, but I do.
But still.
I've mentioned many times, I think that their franchises run the perfect way. And there's some things like that that I think are quite interesting. We're going to get a tiny break in real quick to take care of our partners. We'll be back with more fun in the morning. I knew I was going to do it. There we go. Once I get one a show. I get one a
you
show.
Won, that's
one
it.
More leg of the show. Playmakers coming up next. Brought to you by 75 out there. Not
Woo!
Bad. Nice. Nice.
Baseball weather.
Yeah, I can get used to that. Seth and James here with you. 5 more minutes left of Playmakers, which is 5 minutes of me to almost mess up and say things that I shouldn't say on the air. But keep on listening, everybody, because there's some exciting things going on with this hour and with Playmakers we're excited about. And excited about this. Green Bay Packers annual tradition is traveling a little bit farther this year. We go to the NFL.com for this. Green Bay will officially be counting down the days until it hosts the 25 NFL draft starting next week with a ceremonial draft handoff partially delivered via bicycle from Michigan to Wisconsin, set to take place. It started last week. The ceremony will begin with a themed football arriving in Milwaukee from Detroit via the Lake Express Ferry in Muskegon, Michigan, which will then be carried north to its final destination in Green Bay, where a countdown clock to next year's draft is set to be unveiled at Lambeau Field coming up.
Wait a countdown clock?
Yes, yes.
No.
Yes.
No,
yes,
no,
yes.
No.
Draft.
That is just wrong.
Draft.
Wrong.
Draft. Spike special bike ride, aptly named Pedal to the Draft, will help transport the theme football to Green Bay, paying tribute to the Packers' training camp tradition in which young fans in attendance offer their bikes for players to ride from the locker room to the practice field, a ritual that began in 1958 and continues to this day. One of the cooler traditions in sports.
That was pretty cool. I like that, but the countdown clock, no! No, that is just wrong. I'm serious. It's a draft. Come on.
It may be a bridge too far, but
it is a bridge too far.
I love it though.
It's insane.
It's just pretty awesome. I think it's pretty cool. I'm just excited. The draft is going to be in this state. I cannot tell you how much I am. I should mention to the audience and apologize to Sage. I've been bugging him a lot. Like, hey, Sage, can I be our representative? Will you guys pay me to go to the draft? All this stuff, and he's like, who are you again?
You'll have to sneak in Mike Clemens' luggage.
I could, because
I'm sure Mike will be there. So you're gonna have to find a way to kiss up to him.
I am super flexible. I can definitely do that. I definitely can fold up. And
Why is my suitcase so heavy all of a sudden?
Pay no attention.
And it's grunting. It's making noise. What's going on here?
And I can hear. I believe smiling.
Yeah.
I think I can hear smiling. I'm very excited about the draft coming up. It does look like we will have some good baseball for you. Our schedule with the high school stuff has been changing up and down a little bit here.
But today it looks like the weather is okay, Alex. We're going to get a softball game today, finally.
Yeah. Join us in about a half an hour on our sister station, WIRI. Port Edwards hosts Tri-County Softball. Mm-hmm. Mike and Seth going to be taking care of that one. You know it's going to sound good with those two on the board. It's going to be a fun game.
Yes.
Great having local.
Playoffs start on Thursday.
It's crazy.
Already.
I feel like I blink and that happens.
Yep.
This Thursday at 5 o'clock, Nakusa hosts Neillsville or Granton softball as the postseason continues.
Yep, that is the first playoff game for them. Yep.
Looking forward to that again on WIRI, all these games. And then on Friday, 5 o'clock, WIRI, Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln softball hosting Menasha. Mike and Seth will be running that one. Appreciate you guys doing that, by the way. Great coverage by you. And shout out to Mike doing some great work.
IRI is the home for high school sports, I'm telling you.
Thank you so much to Tyler from the Rafters for joining us.
Good stuff.
A big thank you to you, Seth. Appreciate you for pitching.
No problemo.
And to the best listeners in radio, thank you all so much for joining us. You guys make this show move. We appreciate you. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring our show. Get all your printing needs. Get on over to Quality Plus Printing for you all. Get all your printing taken care of by them. We'll be back with more fun next Monday right here on Playmakers at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.